This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
We can call it deen, but we don't need it. You don't need 3D TV. Like, you know, think about it. A couple of years ago, right? Remember the days of dial-up? Right? You remember how slow that was? We're like, subhanAllah, almost 20 years, nobody complained. As soon as they got DSL, you gotta have it. But then, you know, you never complain until the TV guy goes, is your internet slow? And then you have to do that sound, right? Now that you say it, yeah, it is pretty slow, right? Right? And then now you gotta have 4G. Do you need your iPhone? Yeah, you gotta have it. Right? So I want you to think about it. Allah will always give you what you need. But next time you buy something, ask yourself, do you need it or do you want it? So a lot of times when it comes to competition, they have a question for the hereafter. So for the first life, the Prophet ﷺ said, if you would know the reward of praying in the first life, you would actually, people would fight for you, and you'd have to pick lots to determine the fate. And this is a great reward. So compete for them. When it comes to the dunya, we're living in a time, believe it or not, our mentality is different. Now, you know, in the old days, people only bought what they needed, not what they wanted. Not everything they wanted. But with the TV and everything like that, we end up being brainwashed. And we think that we need these things, but you actually don't need them. And they have, you know, people who are professionals, those who are in advertising and so forth. Professionals at trying to buy things you don't need. Trust me. Don't you see all the, every time you try to get a phone, what do they try to get you to get? Yeah, right. What do you do? That's what you do. You gotta get people to buy it, even though you know they don't need it, you gotta sell it. And you gotta make them feel like they need it. Right? Especially when you go rent a car. How many things do they want to sell you? Like, all the time. Well, no matter where, whatever you buy now, they're trying to give you stuff you don't need. Oh, would you like an insurance on that for 25 extra dollars? You know, it might break down. All kinds of stuff, right? And so that's the society that we're living in. So that also takes a lot of our concern. So first of all, every one of them, everyone is said as context. You can describe it from the context, from the description, and the character, things about the Allah subhanahu mentions, of course, in many verses, every single one of them. We can spend a whole lecture on it. But in general, when we speak about how can we set a goal, pick our goals. Number one, Our goal should always be the highest level of heaven. You should never ever aim and say, Ya Allah, just enter me paradise, no matter where. Whichever level, doesn't matter, even the lowest. No. You ask for the highest because Allah can do it. And when, let me tell you, when you're making dua, your dua should be? Your dua should encompass your goals. So what are you concerned about? Are you concerned about the hereafter? Are you making dua to alleviate, to have Allah alleviate you from the punishment of the hellfire? Are you making dua so that the arrows on the targets can beat you? What are you making dua for? Do you understand? Sometimes you have, when you set goals, set high goals. And you have to have, when you set high goals, let's say for example, if you're in school, if you're just aiming for a passing grade, you're going to work differently. And if, by the way, if you aim for a passing, just aim for just a passing grade, what's more likely to happen? What's most likely to happen? Probably going to fail. Right? Because you're just aiming for 60s, you know, lower 60s, you're going to fail. If something will happen and you're going to go under it. It's like the trajectory, when you shoot an arrow, right? It's like the target is right here, where do you shoot? You pull it a bit higher, it goes down. So aim for the highest level of paradise, and even if you miss the highest, you're going to get the second after that. Right? But you always ask Allah for the highest because Allah can. And you should have that for yourself and for your children. And it will affect how you behave with your expectations and your goals. You set high goals. That's why the Prophet said, when you ask for Jannah, ask for the highest level of Jannah. Ask for the highest. Al-Firdaus al-A'la. Because it is also high. It's middle and it's the highest level of paradise. And so, when we look at even our children, a lot of times we don't set high expectations for our children. And I'll give you a story. One of our friends, he went to a city. And in this city, everyone believed that if you were born on a Tuesday, you're going to be a nobody. You're going to be a nobody. If you're born on a Thursday, you're going to be somebody. You know. And so, they told the sheikh this. The sheikh said, no, it's not true. So they asked him, sheikh, why is this true, sheikh? He said, no, it's not true. He said, no, it's true. If you don't believe us, ask the people outside. Ask the people in the village, in the town. And so the sheikh wasn't asked. He asked the beggars, when were you born? Tuesdays. Why? Just wanted to go. So he starts asking, 80% like of the low-class people, or you would consider low-class, poor, destitute, beggars, and criminals, and so forth, they were born on Tuesday. 80%! And then he started to ask the leaders, the successful business, and he talked to the society in the village. He found out 80% of them also were born on Tuesday. So how did that happen? How did that happen? Do you know how it happened? Let me tell you that. A brother, let's say a family. Family has they have two sons. One son is born on Tuesday. The other one born on Wednesday. So the expectations are bigger. The son that's born on Tuesday, or born on Thursday, comes home on Saturday night at 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock, beautiful. His father says, son, why are you so late? What day were you born? Thursday. People who are born on Thursdays, they don't go around playing on Saturday nights. They do their homework. And he goes, Father, you have to die. I really apologize. You know, next time I won't come so late. I'm going to be late. About 6 o'clock, I'll come. Not the latest. Not spending the whole day. And they make sure that I finish everything up and do all my things. Well, that same family has a son born on Tuesday. Now that Tuesday guy kind of came home at 12 o'clock. Not 9 o'clock. 12 o'clock, he sneaks home. He then comes home, sneaks to his room. The father and the mother says, honey, are you going to say something to him? And so the father says, nah, it's born on Tuesday. You ain't going to know much. So you know, the expectations are different. And so they end up acting accordingly. So if you're looking for the highest level of parents, and you're aiming for that, and you're making dua for that, then you're more likely to do that. If you're going to say, just enter the paradise. So that's why no matter what you do, when you're making dua to Allah, ask for your best. I mean, if you're going to ask Allah for a wife, might as well ask for the most beautiful. No, okay, alhamdulillah. Of course, piety, righteousness, alhamdulillah. Why is he Mexican? Well, in Canada, we're going to put that in. Why not? Why not? Won't he also? Why not? Ask! So we're asking Allah, ask for the best. You know when Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he was making dua for his family, they were in the desert surrounded by barren mountains, not a single strand of grass. You know, the mountains of Mecca in Arabia are not even like here, at least you have some vegetation. There's no vegetation on some of those mountains. And you know, he turns around. He's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when his family would hide it at Ismail again. And what does he ask? He says, وَرْزُقْهُ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ. Ya Allah, provide them with fruits. Where are you going to get fruits in Mecca? Where the progeny of Prophet Ibrahim are going to get fruits? There's not a single strand of grass. And he even mentioned that he wiped the ladies up in his dua. He said, Ya Allah, I left them in a land with no vegetation. Ya Allah, but give them fruits. Where are they going to get fruits? Allah still gave it. So when you go to Mecca, and it's not just him. From the wall touch, you can always find the best fruits in there. You find fruits that you can't even find in the United States. Because they're coming from Australia, they're coming from Egypt, they're coming from Syria, they're coming from India, Southeast Asia. When you go, when you go to those that make hike, go make hike, you see the fruit stands on the side, don't you see? And you're looking, where is this coming from? Well, I couldn't even get that in Arizona. I could get that in California. Okay. You understand? When you make dua, ask for your best. When you set goals, set priorities. And then you put your mind really determined and go for it. Don't just settle for anything less than the best. A Muslim never settles for anything less than the best. Then you get your money set. I told you that when I said everything. You give me another example. You know the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? When he was making hijrah from Mecca to Medina, you know his guide, Abdullah ibn Qurtub, when they say Urayba, it was the right pronunciation of Qurtub. Abdullah ibn Qurtub was an Muslim. For the most important journey in Islam, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hired an Muslim. As his back. You know why? Were there Muslims? Yes. There were. But there's a lesson. The lesson is, when it comes to da'wah, when it comes to Islam deserves the best. Never settle for anything less than the best. So look for quality. That's what Allah loves to ask. That's why sometimes we have da'wah problems. We have professionals, the da'wah projects, and then we make posters, right? If you have people who are specialists in that, and Muslims can do it, alhamdulillah, it's okay. Give them. But if you don't, it's okay to hire a non-Muslim. Even if you pay for it. To give quality, because Islam deserves the best. Islam deserves the best. Sometimes you look at some of these programs, and you're looking around, and then you look at the non-Muslim, mashallah, they're professional. When you come to Muslim events, none of that is fine. Then we say, well, because the brother can do it for free. Then yes, he can do it for free, but he's a professional at it. And he can do it for free, but look at that, you're like, you know, especially when, you know, sometimes those who study design and stuff like that, look at that. Whoa. Like, every rule is broken. And all the things that you do. But doesn't Islam deserve the best? If there is something, if there is anyone, anything that deserves the best, Islam. It's a quality. Quality, professionalism, excellence. Focus on those things in a doubt. Because it makes it. Yes.
When you're talking about playing the football and where you're talking about now, it's also all about self-discipline. So do you have any exercises that you need to self-discipline?
Okay, yes. Well, what can we do to discipline ourselves? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَيْرَ الْأَعْمَالِ أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْهَا. The best of these are that which is most consistent, even if it's smaller. If you want to be disciplined, and of course for us, you know our mind goes up and down, up and down. So how can you keep yourself strong? How can you keep yourself strong? One is consistency. Even if it's just a small amount. So every one of us, we should pick deeds. A small amount of deeds that we can do for the rest of your life and it becomes your character. But don't pick something that's so much that you cannot do it consistently. Let's say, for example, let's say prayer. Say to yourself, from now on, I will pray in the masjid at least once every 3 days. Okay? This is minimal. I'm talking about minimal requirement. When you have more, you should pray more than that. But let's say, for example, 2 days you are so busy, you didn't pray in the masjid. And then the third day comes, you miss all 4 prayers at Isha time. Then Isha time comes, and you say to yourself, Muhammad, there is never 3 days in your life that you have left. And there will never be 3 days that you never see the masjid. 3 days. So that even no matter how tired you are, you go. Be consistent. And when it comes to Quran, the same way. When it comes to fasting, the same way. And this is what the companions did. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. He said, from the day I heard from my Khalil, from my one and only love, my love, his Khalil, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I've never left these 3 things. What are those 3 things? He said, number one, 3 rak'ahs of witr. Second, 2 rak'ahs after sunrise, the duha, after sun has risen already. And then, number 3 days of fasting in a month. He did more than that most of the time, but there was never a month that he didn't fast at least 3 times. That's why some of us, we crash after Ramadan, because we're not consistent. MashaAllah, we read the Quran a lot, then all of a sudden, 3-4 months, you never open it again. Why? Because you don't have that as part of your character. So you have to choose deeds that you can be consistent with. Even a small amount, be consistent with it. For the rest of your life, choose daily deeds, and then monthly deeds, and some maybe bi-monthly or tri-monthly deeds. For example, let's say there's not a single month or 3 months that passes by, except I'm going to visit at least one sick person. Then you say, okay, 2 months have passed, and this month is about to end, I'm going to go visit somebody who's sick. And so put that as your schedule. Just like when you want to have a successful business, you put a business plan, you want to inch agenda, put your plan. And set your plan also. And that's the thing is, you have to know, if you want to be consistent for a certain amount, then you add more. But say, okay, there's not a single day in my life except I'm going to read half a page of the Quran. So if you're consistent with that, most of the time you end up reading more than that. Trust me, once you start, you end up reading more than that. So that's one way to be consistent and keep yourself strong. And also, by the way, even in your daily life, the little things that you do in your daily life, consistency is very important. When I went to Medina to study at the university, I was only 18 years old, and I have two sisters, and so my two sisters at home they did everything. So I don't know how to cook. By the way, I didn't even know how to crack an egg. Honestly, first time I cracked an egg was in Medina, and I said, "Whoa, what happened?" Until my friend told me, he said, "You crack a little bit like this, and then you pull it apart, and then I knew how to crack an egg." Trust me, I didn't know how to crack an egg. And I was a little bit spoiled, but my mother used to always clean my bed, do everything for me. That was good. That was the type of mother that I had. And my sister would do the cleaning, and I would try to be nice and kind and clean and wash the dishes once in a while, but then I would get yelled at. And so I would, I'm washing the dishes, and then my mother comes, "Who washed the dishes?" And I said, "I don't know, I did." So why is there still soap on there? Right? And then she was like, don't do that again. That's okay. Well, try to help. And then, well, that's the type of person that, you know, that's how I grew up. So now in Medina, nobody's going to wash my dishes. Nobody's going to clean my house. Okay? And so I started realizing, okay, you know, it's getting dirty. My room is getting really dirty. So you know what I ended up doing? Okay, I said, you know, I hate to clean. Some of us, we hate to clean, right? Our cars, sometimes we start getting dirty. You know, not like my theory, love to clean. But, you know, no. But the thing is, what did I do? I said, you know what? Every time I leave this room, when I come back, the first thing that I'm going to do for 3 minutes is I'm going to clean up. There's not a single time that I leave that door except I clean it. 3 minutes. So this is what I ended up doing. Every time, even when I went to the bathroom, I would come back, clean my room for 3 minutes before I did anything else. And 3 minutes was not a lot. I ended up decreasing it to 1 minute. And you know, 1 minute, you never say, oh man, 1 minute is so much. Right? But you know, I ended up, this is what I did. Just 1 minute. Sometimes I would take longer than that. You know, do more, because once you get, the hardest part is getting started. Once you start, it makes it easier. So usually, sometimes you end up cleaning more than 1 minute. But I got to the point where my room was so clean. My room was so clean that I had to look for dust. On my books, I'm like looking for dust. Because I don't have anything else to clean. And I still have a name to clean. And I leave, I do it again. So I'm looking for dust somewhere. So like, it's super clean. But then I don't even feel like I put in a lot. But that's what consistency is. And that's why also, you know, when I get my car also, you know, before I used to like look at my car, that Saturday was a clean day, clean my car and stuff like that. But then I said, you know, I'm going to apply that also. So what I did was, every time, the rule in my house or my car is that anyone who's in my car, of course my family, I'm going to get guests to do this. If you leave my car, nobody leaves my car without taking 3 pieces of trash. Every time you take 3 pieces, you have to find these 3 pieces. Right? You leave the car. And so what ends up happening is this. Some of my kids in the back, they know that that's their ticket out. If they don't have 3 pieces, so what we end up doing, the whole family, before we enter the supermarket, everyone goes to the trash can first. So it's like a little dedicated family. Everyone's going to the trash, everybody throws their 3 pieces, then we all go to the store. Whatever we're doing, wherever we're going to go, the park, doesn't matter. The first thing we're looking for is the trash can. Okay? So we go out, and you know, my kids, it ends up being, they start calling for the trash. What do I know they call for? Like, they're sitting in the back, they got their seatbelts, so they can't get the trash. And so they're telling, but I called that one. Like, you know, that means when he gets out, he got that one. So he doesn't have to look for it. He doesn't have to look for it. But that's what consistency is. You don't feel it, but if you're consistent in doing good deeds,